Some viewers may find the following video disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised.
It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Chicago. It's 7 p.m. in New York City, the Big Apple. And in Copenhagen, Denmark, it's 2 a.m. Hello, Michael Perry. How are you, my friend? We are joined once again, folks. I don't know how she did it. but we tried to get rid of her. She keeps making her way back in. And Amelia the Pitbull Chapman. There she is. She's back. How'd you get in tonight? I thought I locked the doors.
I have my way to come in.
I see you let AJ in with you.
Well, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know,
it says witch. It's AJ with you. AJ yeah, right. with you and Amelia want to be with you. shit, I am the Mad Dog. Welcome to a very, very interesting, very controversial episode tonight.
Yes.
Of What's the Buzz Popcast. Tonight, inside the serial killer, the killer clown. Oy. The killer clown. Y'all know who I'm talking about when I say the killer clown? John Wayne Gacy. Oh. America's preeminent killer clown. What a sick. This guy was a whole different level of sick. Crazy. Yeah. I want to bring AJ up here. AJ, I'm going to bring you right up.
All right.
What do you know about John Wayne Gacy?
Well, he had grown up in an abusive home.
Yeah.
Especially from his father. And because of that, I feel that because of that, that really messed with his mind and really set him on the course of where he ended up going, you know. Yeah. And to go about the way he did it,
yeah,
you know, I mean, and here's where it gets a little disturbing, where you are luring kids in and with handcuffs and saying, oh, it's I want to show you a magic trick.
Yeah.
But I mean I'm getting cold chills just thinking about that. That's a bit excessive.
Well, like I said, it's a different level. It's a whole new level of sick.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the reason that, and if you know Gacy and his story, It's a no-brainer. It's really a no-brainer why he chose all boys. Because those boys that he killed represented his father. They represented his father. Every boy he killed represented his father. Like, he was killing his father over and over again. But every kill became more and more appealing to him. To the point where, and this is, you know, we'll talk about, AJ mentions the word disturbing. Well, it's a whole different level of disturbing when you start killing people and you become sexually aroused from it. And they actually have a name for that. You know, if you want to know what it is, go look it up, because I'm not going to tell you. It's sick. But there are people who get off, like sexually get off on killing people. Gacy was one of them. The interesting thing about Gacy, though, like most sociopaths, is that he was really good at covering his tracks. He was so good at it that he started in 1967 with his first kill and didn't stop until like 1978 when he got caught. Okay? And to just to add further to that, they just discovered this year. This year, they discovered a 34th victim.
What?
You're going to see his photo tonight, too. They discovered another victim. They finally identified the only body they were not able to identify. They finally got a name for this poor kid. Finally got a name for him. And you're going to see him in a little bit. But I digress. John Wayne Gacy was a clown, a birthday party performer, a magician, the pillar of his community. Where, Amelia, where did we hear that one before?
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember. It's just been so many times.
The BTK killer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This guy was a church member, a Boy Scout leader, a pillar of his community, a deacon in his church. Right?
Yes.
This is like, it's a whole different level of sick here, folks. That's why they give them this name. I love this word, sociopath. Because so they can fit in. Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to let you expound on that, AJ. Go ahead.
So, what most people may not know or realize if they're not too caught up on the case is he was a mortician, and that's when he had his first homophobic experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's for me, there's different, I guess, and I apologize for struggling with my words here. It's one has to define, I guess, a homophobic experience, because when you look at what he did for the first time, and that was, yeah, I believe, in the where he was working as a mortician, and it's like, okay, is that? I mean, we know that there's another word for that. So does that? And here's where I think there's a lot of discrepancies or a lot of misconception, because people are going to look at that as a homophobic experience.
Yeah.
The first homophobic experience I'm going to speak for the general public, is going to look at it as, well, no, you have to be with an actual person that's alive.
That's, yeah, but you doing. Know what? And thank you for saying that. I'm going to jump in here a minute. That's really important that you say that, because one of the things that people don't understand is that when Gacy was interviewed by the police, they asked him, are you gay? And he said no. And he was absolutely right. John Wayne Gacy was a heterosexual guy.
He was married twice.
He was married twice, yeah. And has kids.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you like to be his kid, right? John Wayne Gacy was not homosexual. He was not a gay man. The fact that he had homoerotic tendencies is a whole nother story. A whole nother story. One of the things that... Kenneth is here. Hey, Kenneth, how are you? We're going to see something about that later tonight, Kenneth. I'm going to show you a photo here shortly. We're going to see a bit of a slideshow. He was absolutely inextricably connected with the Democratic Party. John Wayne Gacy was a diehard Democrat, believe it or not. But getting back to what AJ was talking about, these homoerotic tendencies, these fantasies he had, that does not make you homosexual. That does not make you gay. It just means that you, in the throes of your murdering someone, you became sexually aroused. And there again, like I say, there is a name for it. If you want to go spend the time to look it up, you go right ahead, but you're not going to hear it on this show. I'm not going to encourage any kind of untoward behavior. Not on the show. Go look. If you want that, go listen to somebody else. But you're not going to do it here. But it does beg the question, why? Why do people feel the need to kill? Number one. The second question is, why do they feel the need to engage in promiscuous activity with the corpse? Necrophilia, by the way, is what it's called. Okay. Leon, I think we've established Gacy was one sick dude. Yes, that's an understatement, Leon. By the way, welcome back. It's nice to have you here. You know what? Let me just tell everybody a little bit about John Wayne Gacy. And now I think we'll understand a little bit better about Gacy himself. John Wayne Gacy was a serial killer and sex offender who raped, tortured, murdered, and brutalized, sodomized at least 33 young men and boys in the Norwood Township, Illinois area near Chicago, right outside of Chicago, in fact, fellas. He became known as the Killer Clown due to his public performance as a clown prior to the discovery of his crimes. Gacy committed all of his known murders inside his home. That's something that you need to understand. It's very unique to this case. He did not kill them somewhere and bring them home. Everyone that Gacy killed walked through his front door first. And I want to say this again. So hear what I'm saying. Gacy committed all of his crimes inside his house. Typically, he would lure a victim to his house, dupe them into donning handcuffs on the pretext of demonstrating, as AJ said, showing them a magic trick.
Right. Right?
He would then rape and torture his captives before killing them, either by his favorite method was choking someone, asphyxiation, strangulation, cutting off the air. Once in a while, he would use you guys know what a garrote is?
No.
Yeah, okay. A garrote is where you take a rope and you put a stick through it and you turn it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you make it tighter and tighter and tighter. Mm-hmm. Like a kind of a tourniquet?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay. A garrote works along the same lines as a tourniquet. It cuts everything off. A garrote can actually be used to help people. It can also kill somebody if you use it wrong. Mm. 26 victims were buried in the crawl space of his home. Three were buried elsewhere on the property. Four were discarded into the Plain River. Now, check this one out. Gacy had previously convicted in 1967. Of sodomy of a teenage boy in Waterloo, Iowa. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison. They let him out after 18 months. 18 months they let him out. He murdered his first victim in 1972. He murdered twice more by the end of 75 and at least 30 victims after his divorce in 1976. Okay. You don't hear from John Wayne Gacy again till 1978. What happened in 1977, the missing year? Well, Kenneth Jarrett Singleton told you what happened. John Wayne Gacy was a proud member of the Democratic Party, the Elect Jimmy Carter for President movement. And he was a staunch and advocate defender of the Democrats and campaigned vigorously for President Carter and, in fact, attended a White House dinner. In fact, had his picture taken with the First Lady of the United States and, in fact, was invited back again. That second invitation would never materialize for obvious and clear reasons that we need not discuss. Anyway, before we get too involved in this, let's take a look at this. Watch. There is John Wayne Gacy with President Carter's wife, Rosalynn Carter. Okay, those people who say that never happened, ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at not one, but two pictures. And yes, you are looking at a picture of the killer clown in full makeup regalia. Feast your eyes and listen to this. This was a picture of John Wayne Gacy the day before he was executed by lethal injection. He gave one last final interview with a television station under the premise they would only air it after he was dead. And there is all the victims. You're looking at, 36 victims, folks. That's what you're looking at, all 36. There they are. The gentleman on the third row down to the left, you're going to hear about him in a minute, because he was the newest discovery killed by John Wayne Gacy, 46 years later. Okay.
Oh my God.
Is that crazy or what? Mm. That's crazy.
That's a different kind of crazy. Mm.
Yeah. I want to show you something. Take a look at this. All right. See this young man?
Mm-hmm.
He's a young Hispanic boy from just outside of Chicago. He was known as Person X for years and years. He was only this year. He was only discovered this year as Gacy's 36th victim. And Mac is here. Here you go.
What's that look on Gacy's face? Is it like
he's smiling
for a
mugshot?
Like a smirk on his face, like, yeah. I don't care that I'm here.
I think he looks relieved to finally have gotten caught.
Or a smirk on his face.
To be honest with you.
A lot of people said his last words were, kiss my ass.
His last words were, fuck you, kiss my ass.
Okay.
Is exactly what he said.
And I was looking
exactly
at
exactly what he said.
The ages of the victims. Two of them were 14 years old, you sick son of a bitch.
Yeah.
14 years old.
His youngest victim was 12.
Oh my God.
The youngest was 12. His last words, the executioner strapped him into the table. Mm-hmm. They injected the first sedative. Mr. Gacy, do you have any last words? Yeah. Fuck you. Mr. Gacy, seriously, do you have any last words? Yeah. fuck you, kiss my ass. Okay, that was, they were his last words. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, kiss my ass. Then they put him to sleep. Then they injected at least a lethal dose of whatever that poison is, like rat poison or whatever the fuck it was, that killed him on the spot.
I'm just surprised that none of the families were in the, from the victims.
All the families were there.
I mean, leech over the courtroom and started beating his ass. I mean, because
no,
it was me,
but that you couldn't get in the execution chamber. Mm-hmm. You could not get a seat in the execution chamber. There were over 100 people in there to watch his execution. Ooh. And the rumor has it, and I've not seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I've not seen it yet. But rumor has it that somebody snuck in a recording device, like a camera, like a little movie camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't forget, video cameras were around at the time.
Yeah.
But they were bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't like little
big
mini cameras now. Mm-hmm. They were like, you know, you had to hold them on your shoulder. You know, they were big. But somebody, it was reported that somebody brought in, I don't know how true it is, but they say it's out there, a camera, and they photographed Gacy dying.
Hmm.
If you go on YouTube, it won't come up.
No.
You know, you can look. I mean, it's, I mean, none, of course, don't forget, though, YouTube likes to scrub shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to find anything on YouTube. Mac is here. Hey, Mac, how are you, kid?
What's up, guys?
Mac, let me bring you up here on the big camera. Let's talk. First of all, did the kid win the game? Or was it just practice?
It was just training. He's playing for a different team now, so he's not playing on my team anymore. So he's training with another
team. Oh, just practice tonight. Okay. So let me ask you a question, and Mac. What do you know about the John Wayne Gacy? What do you think of that? You just saw his video here. What do you think of this character?
I think he's a sadistic, twisted son of a bitch. I actually wrote down 10 creepy things about this guy, and the last one really creeped me out, and I'm going to read it to you.
Go for
it. The crawl space where he put the bodies in.
Yes.
He also liked to hang. He also liked to hang out down there, and play with the body parts.
Oh yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah, I was just telling everybody.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch that, but yeah, man, yeah, he's paintings.
You know,
his paintings were disgusting.
Let me do this again. Hold on, Mac. I want to bring this up again. Hold on. Let me show you something.
Okay.
I want to bring up, there's a spot here. I think it's, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. That's the crawl space to the basement. I want you to look at something. You see all those markers? They have numbers on them.
Yep.
All those markers with those numbers represent a person.
Yeah,
okay.
That's crazy.
You're looking at, there's at least 33 markers in there. Okay, at least that many. Here is the police carrying bodies out of the front door of the house. By the way, just so you know, that house has been destroyed. It's been leveled down to the ground. They turned over the ground, and a new house has been built there. So
just to have another house in that spot.
Say again, please.
No, I was saying just to even build another house in that spot, just where that foundation was, where he buried all those bodies, is still kind of
As I said, they turned everything over. There wasn't even a foundation left.
There
was nothing left. They completely and utterly obliterated any memory, any semblance that there was ever a house there. In fact, what they did on part of the property was they built a memorial park in honor of the victims. So actually, the people in the area did something very smart. They took something very bad and made something very good of it. Which, and if you're going to do something like that, go for it and go for it all the way. You either go for it, balls to the walls, or don't do it. Of course, he was found guilty, John Wayne Gacy. But, and again, this is the guy we're talking about here. The killer clown. And that's, and again, that's the house. So, we're back. And I wanted people to see that because I'm glad you said something. He would, from time to time, it is said, go underneath the crawl space of the house naked and have engage in sexual activity. We were just talking about that. Yeah. Here's the fascinating thing, Mac, and we were just, the audience was just hearing this. Gacy was not a homosexual. He wasn't gay. But he got off on the necrophilia, the idea of having sex with a dead body. Okay? It just so happens that all his bodies were men because they represented his father, who he hated. So every boy that he killed represented his dad. He got to kill his father over and over and over again. Okay? The strange thing about it, Mac, is that his father lived to be a fairly decent age before he actually died. People don't know about that because they don't know, you know, the history of John Wayne Gacy. We are discussing the serial killer inside the serial killer's mind. Tonight, John Wayne Gacy, we are going to take a small pause for the cause, and we will be back right after this.
Do you have sweaty balls or volleyball netty balls? It's time to make them ready balls. The Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0 will do the job and clean your knob with its patented no-nick head, so your head will function as desired. Enter promo code WrestlingFuture for a generous 20% discount. That's enter WrestlingFuture for a 20% discount. Manscaped.com and Wrestling with the Future, going balls to the walls with Manscaped.com and the Lawnmower 3.0, your balls will thank you, and so will we.
For expert body work and collision repair, there's only one place in Clementon, New Jersey. It's Bruce's Collision Center at 114 Whitehorse Pike in Clementon, New Jersey. Call Bruce at 856-783-1475. And tell him the Mad Dog sent you from WWTF Radio, global and around the world. We're back with What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast on WWTF Radio 88.7 on the Broadband Radio System, broadcasting live and around the world tonight. Inside the serial killer, the killer clown, John Wayne Gacy. Let's open it up for discussion. Anybody want to jump in on this sick fuck? Anybody?
No, I just read.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mac. I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, Mac is volunteering. I'm going.
No, he. Go ahead.
You know, I just read something during the commercial break here, and there were fans of John Wayne Gacy and his sick
a lot of them
shit that
a
he did
a lot of them.
And if you're a fan of that, I think you should just go down with him.
Bro, let me tell you something about this. Let's talk about that. I'm glad you said something. Let me tell everybody a little something here. I'm sure you guys are old enough to know who Charles Manson was.
Mm-hmm. That came right to my mind as soon as we
Charles Manson was a little guy, like my size, pretty much my size, okay? A little, squirrely, little nothing, nobody, that never made anything of his life, okay? That's the difference between me and Manson. I actually did something with my life. But what the gift that he had was that he was able to charm people, particularly young girls, especially young girls, runaway girls. Gacy had this same kind of appeal that Manson did. There's a strange, Amelia, what do you want to call it? Strange kind of magnetism.
Yeah, some kind of like that drew you in with his words.
Exactly. Something that drew you in. It's a very good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Something that drew you into that twisted mentality. And there were no shortage of fans for Manson. No shortage of fans for Richard Ramirez.
Oh, God, that man was horrible.
Horrible, but he was a good looking guy. Look at Ted Bundy. Looked like a fucking male model.
Yeah.
That twisted fuck, right? All of these guys we're talking about. The Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, Ted Bundy, you know, the dashing killer. You're looking at John Wayne Gacy. All these serial killers all had one thing in common. They had this lure. They lured you to them, this magnetism, this quality. I don't understand it. Don't ask me to try to understand it. I don't get it. But women threw themselves. There were women waiting in line to get married to John Wayne Gacy. You hear what I'm saying? People were waiting in line to get married. And that's the word.
Charisma.
Kenneth, it's charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we saw it with Jim Jones. We saw it with Marshall Applewhite. We saw it with, remember Heaven's Gate, remember? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one, Amelia? Here's a name you won't forget. Amy Carlson.
Oh, yes, that lady.
Mother God. You guys don't know. You're too young to know who Mother God was. We're going to show you a video sometime. We're going to do a show. We're going to do a follow-up show on Mother God, Amy Carlson.
Mad Dog, I do have something to bring up.
Please do, AJ.
And so I don't think we've been talking about that John Gacy is not gay. He's where his asphyxiation comes from is he wasn't so much turned on by what he was doing afterwards. I think what it was he was getting off on the fact that the thrill of the kill, so to speak.
That's exactly what I was saying. You're making my point for me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like, I mean, how if you're so turned on by something like that,
yeah,
you're going to react that way.
That's exactly right. You made my point for me. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. It wasn't the fact that he was gay, because he wasn't gay. No, he had no Gacy. Trust me when I tell you, he had no trouble with the women. John Wayne Gacy had a very active dating life. He dated lots of women, but he never killed a woman. Why? You got to understand his mindset. He loved his mother.
Right.
He loved his mother. He would never hurt his mother. But his father, he couldn't stand the ground he walked on. And every kill represented his father. Okay?
That's where the misconception comes in from being gay versus...
Yeah, but you have to remember, as I said previously, and it was important from the get-go of the show to understand that it wasn't the kill necessarily. It was, as you say, I'm going to use your words, the thrill of the kill. That's what got his jollies off, okay? And what happens when you got a hard-on? Let's just be, we got an adult disclaimer here. What happens when you got a hard-on? You want to fuck something, don't you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to fuck the nearest thing you can find. Mm-hmm. In his case, the nearest thing he could find was a dead body. That's why he was a necrophile. He was a necrophiliac. He fucked dead human. That's what he did. I'm sorry, folks, but you don't have to like it, but that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Check it out. If you think I'm lying, go check it out. We tell everybody on this show, Amelia, every show, every week we come on, we say, if you don't believe it, go look for yourself. I'll even tell you where to find it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and if you want to know where to find it, folks, just type in serial killers and necrophiles. Yeah. John Wayne Gacy's one of the first ones to come up.
Yeah. It's okay? In
there. He you know who else was that way? We're going to talk about him in a little while, too. In fact, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about him. The Yorkshire Ripper. He was another one, Mac and AJ, that got off sexually on the kill. But in the Yorkshire Ripper's case, he didn't, he, you know, serial killers usually have a type. Like with Gacy, it was young boys. With Ted Bundy, it was young women. Here's the unique thing about Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. He didn't have a type. He killed everybody, young, old, male, female. It didn't matter to him. It didn't matter if you were 15 or 75. If he could get off on you, he was going to kill you and get off on you. And that was the most unique thing about Peter Sutcliffe that I discovered. He didn't care. Gacy cared because he didn't want women. He wanted boys because he hated his father so fucking much. You guys don't even understand when I tell you. He could not stomach the thought of his dad.
And what I don't understand is that when he found out when his dad died when he was in prison, he knelt down and cried like a baby.
He sobbed.
Yeah.
He cried like a baby. At the funeral.
Mm-hmm. You know why? You know what that meant? It meant that he couldn't kill him.
Right.
It meant that he couldn't kill him. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The psychology. What's the show called? It's called Inside the Serial Killer.
He wasn't upset that he didn't kill his dad. He wasn't upset that his dad died. He was upset at the fact that he couldn't do the killing himself. Is what it comes down to.
That's the point. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's the one thing that bothered him most of all, that he didn't have the pleasure of killing his father. You know, it used to bother him. It used to really bother him that his father and mother were having sex. He couldn't stand that his mother and father were having sex. Well, I'm talking about when he was a young boy.
Right.
He hated it from the time he was old enough to know. He and his father had this hate, boom, boom, boom relationship. Yeah. And it was all over the mother. All of it was over the mother. Who's going to win mama's heart? The husband or the young knight in shining armor? Asshole. She married her husband, not you.
Right.
Okay? You're the son, not the husband. There's a reason for that. You know, that's how it works. And I don't know if anybody explained it to Gacy when he was a kid, but this is how it works, dude. You know? Anyway, Amelia.
Yes.
Thoughts on, let's talk about serial killers in general, Mel.
Right.
You and I have done a number of hard-hitting shows to the point where we actually had psychologist Dr. Anthony Tobiah on the show. Now, you guys, you're going to meet Dr. Tobiah one day. I'm going to bring him back on the show. Dr. Anthony Tobiah said something interesting when we had him on the show. He said the serial killer doesn't think in terms of right or wrong or good or bad. They think in terms of what can I do for me?
Right.
Everything is turned inward back to them.
Right. What can make me feel good?
What can make me feel good? What can I do to help me?
Right.
How is this kill going to make me feel? Mm-hmm. What can I get out of this?
It's all the pleasure for them.
The pleasure for them is exactly. Remember, Dr. Tobiah talked about that.
Right.
You know?
he dissected like the brain, how it would feel for the person as far as like how it happened when they grew up and how
exactly he brought us inside the mind of the serial killer. It's a very strange place, fellas. Inside the mind of a serial killer is a very, very strange place. Amelia and I went there with Dr. Tobias. He took us on a little trip. Let me tell you something. By the time that show was over, I felt like I needed a cold shower, okay?
Yeah.
I felt dirty. Yeah. I felt really fucking dirty after that show because it was brutal. We talked about Eileen Wuornos, the first female serial killer. We talked about Doug Dunnings, the first African-American serial killer. People don't realize. They think serial killers is a white guy thing.
Right.
Guess what? There's been two black guys.
Right.
Two black serial killers. The only two in history.
And what was this guy? Pedro something. I can't remember the last name.
Pedro Ortega.
Yes.
This that one was guy, the worst. He killed his youngest victim was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Raped and killed a six-year-old.
That
How
one.
How do you do that? How do you even rape a six-year-old? How do you do that?
I had
the rape alone here. Would kill a six-year-old for crying out loud. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you even think to rape a six-year-old? Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. It's just fucking remarkable to think how people, how they rationalize in their own psyche what they do. Like, Gacy didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Gacy thought he was doing society a favor.
Right.
So did Richard Ramirez. He thought he was doing society a favor. Ted Bundy. The Night Stalker. The Zodiac. Jack the Ripper. The Yorkshire Ripper. Charles Manson. Who? I mean, name them. Jim Jones.
What about the toy box killer?
Go ahead, please.
What about the toy box killer?
Oh, brother, I need like three shows to do that one, mm-hmm. please. Yeah, the toy box killer. I need like three shows for that. I'll tell you what we should do, Amelia. Mm-hmm. We should do the toy box killer, and here's one for you, AJ and Mac. Listen to this one. The toy box killer and the happy face killer. We should do both of them shows together. There's a great deal of similarity between the happy face killer and the toy box killer.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting difference, though. The happy face killer was a truck driver. And his kill... People initially they couldn't find this guy for years, and know why? Because he was driving cross country back and forth in his truck. Mm-hmm. He was living in his truck. That's what truck drivers do. They live in the cab of their truck, right? They shower at the truck stop. They eat at the truck stop. They eat on the road. This guy was picking up people cross country and killing them.
Yes.
You know, where'd AJ go?
Uh-oh, he must have some technical difficulties. And some of these serial killers, I mean, some of them have a great life growing up, and then some of them have a horrible life growing up. So it really depends on their mind, their psycho. Yeah. It's up here. We really don't know if it's them and wanting it because they just want it, or if this is something that they crave.
Remember what Dr. Tobias said. Mm-hmm. You can't assimilate the same way. You can't assimilate the same way. Exactly. They don't think like
they don't.
And they don't remember, a sociopath doesn't think in terms of right or wrong or good or bad. Mm-hmm. They only think in terms of what's in it for me. They are
what they want.
Sociopaths, serial killers, are almost exclusively narcissists.
Exactly.
But Matt, almost exclusively narcissists. Exactly. Go ahead, Mac, because you're chomping at the bit here. Go for it.
So, Mac, were you going to say something?
No. No.
Oh.
Oh, well, you were. AJ. I thought you were moving your lips like you wanted to say something. So I. Go ahead, AJ. I'll let you jump in. Go ahead, brother.
So you said something earlier that really.
I said a lot of things earlier.
I'm going to be more specific. You said about God. And that's what I believe are in these in these serial killers' mind is, you know, we're sitting here talking about, you know, they're doing it for me. You know, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it?
Yeah.
Because in their mind, they think they're doing what's best for society.
They think they're doing God's work.
They're playing the part of God.
And that's exactly what I said earlier. They have this edified complex. Remember something. We just talked about it 2 minutes ago. They don't think in terms of right or wrong or good or bad. They think in terms of what's in it for me. What can I get out of it? They put themselves in the Godhead.
Yeah.
They are the Godhead because they think they're doing, quote unquote, God's work. Look at Jim Jones. Look at Marshall Applewhite. Remember David Koresh. All right. Look at these people. Mm-hmm. We've done these shows. Guess what? We're going to do them again. Look at people like Manson who thought he was Jesus. Mm. There's no accident that Charlie Manson grew a beard and long hair and a mustache.
And he started to get the following for it.
Yeah. And wait a minute. He had his own little disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And not just women. He had a lot of guy disciples, too. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember something, Manson. He was bisexual. He did play for both teams. And he didn't care. You know? He played for both sides of the fence and didn't care. But you need to understand something as well. Especially in Manson's case. He had his groupies, I'll use that word. He had his groupies so fired up mentally, they would do literally anything he said to do. And guess what? They did. If Charlie said go out and kill, they went out and killed for Charlie. Remember the very thing. It's funny. I'm reminded of a commercial I used to hear when I was a kid. For Good and Plenty candies. The little guy on the choo-choo train going, Charlie says, I love my Good and Plenty, right? Charlie says.
I remember
right?
the candy. Yeah, I remember the candy.
Remember? Okay. Do you know how they had to take that commercial off the air? Do you know why they took that commercial off the air?
Was it because of Charlie Manson?
It was because of Charlie Says. Because the girls and the guys and girls that followed Charlie Manson, here's what they used to say. Charlie says, we're doing this for Mother Earth. Charlie says, we're doing this to purify the planet. Charlie says, it was all Charlie says. So they had to take that commercial off the air. Okay. And I didn't see that commercial for a long time. It was a long time before I saw that commercial again.
So
but now you know why. Now you know why.
Matt Dog, if I may, I'd like to get your guys' opinions on something. Something keeps striking to me, and that's you can be a serial killer like John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, this and that and the other. However, at the same time, are you just as guilty if you give these guys their clout by making documentaries and promoting this stuff, throwing it out there on television? And then, of course, you bring movies and shows into it.
Well, I think that's just like giving awareness of what they did.
I think, I'm kind of to be honest with you, I'm kind of in between both opinions. I do believe that it does focus on awareness, but I also believe in the wrong mentality, it can clearly prop somebody up. Charlie Manson's been dead for a couple of years now. I got news for you. When he died, people devoted to Charlie Manson tripled.
Oh, absolutely, they did.
And I'm not even shitting you guys. Charlie Manson has more followers now in death than he did in life, just like Jesus. Because Jesus didn't get a following until after he died. Okay? He had the same group of ragtag apostles that followed him around. And they would, you know, it was like a traveling road show. They would gather, you know, crowds in Israel and crowds in Bethlehem and whatever. Right? You get the idea. But it wasn't until Jesus died that the myth became real. That he rose from the dead. Charlie Manson believed that he died and rose from the dead. This is the kind of, I'm not even shitting you. He thought he was the modern day Jesus. But then again, go ahead and look at David Koresh. He thought he was Jesus too. All right? You can't make this shit up.
No.
Folks, I'm not even kidding. No. You can't make this up. Look at Amy Carlson. She went a step above. She's not Jesus. This woman went straight to God. She says, I am God.
Oh, yes, she did.
I'll show you that clip. Oh, I will show you that clip, brother. Let me tell you something. That'll scare the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
That, in fact, it was so scary they had to pull it off of TikTok.
Yeah. And with John Wayne Gacy, I got scared. People, young kids even got more scared of clowns. I know I did.
First of all, don't go dissing on the clowns, okay?
That's sorry, I don't like clowns.
There's a lot of good clowns out there, okay? But for the most part, people think clowns are creepy, which is kind of weird because the whole purpose of a clown is to make you laugh. But that makeup just looks creepy on certain people. Like, you look at the picture of John Wayne Gacy you saw. Let me tell you something. If I see a clown looks like that, I'm walking the other fucking way.
I'm not going
nowhere near a clown like that. You know?
One of the most famous
clowns. The clown from It. Pennywise. Pennywise the clown. Mm-mm. Yeah, Pennywise the clown. Let me tell you something. You know, Tim Curry did such a great job. He made me fucking hate clowns, okay? And I used to love clowns. And I love Tim Curry. Send prayers out to Tim Curry, please, because the man, he's really struggling health-wise. He had a horrible stroke, and he needs prayers and for healing. And so, you know, if give Tim Curry a couple prayers. What else? Amelia, what else we got? What other exclamation point can we pop onto this?
I just can't believe that he tried to make himself unfit for trial. Because come on, really, you're going to try to make yourself unfit for trial when you knew
he tried,
and he actually admitted to these, and then he tried to make himself unfit for trial. Come on,
oh yeah,
you're absolutely an idiot.
Let me tell you something. Stevie Wonder could see through that. Okay,
yeah, exactly. And then he
Wonder could see through that. Ray Charles could have saw through that.
And then he said there was 33, maybe 36, but there could be more. I'm not sure. Come on.
Let me tell you something. One thing that we learned from Dr. Tobiah, a serial killer knows exactly how many people they've killed. Exactly. You know why? Because they take pride in their work. So don't let anybody tell you that serial killers don't understand what they're doing. Trust me, folks. They're crazy like a fox. They know exactly what the fuck they're doing.
Did they do a memorial for the people in the, for the guys at the Des Plaines River? Do you know? Could they ever do a memorial for them as well?
The which ones?
The ones, the bodies that they dumped in the Des Plaines River. Did they ever
They absolutely did. They counted those bodies also among, because they are pictured in the in that lineup I showed. 36 young, all men, all young boys, all of them under the age of 20. By the way,
that's
all
so sad.
Every one of them under the age of 20. Million, what about, we got tomorrow night? Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, what about Philip Markoff, the Craigslist serial killer?
You don't hear much about that, do you, anymore?
No, no. Not anymore.
Remember that? That was a big deal for a while, and then all of a sudden
The first time I heard that, that was I was a teenager. I think I was about 17 when I heard that. And the reason why I heard that was because they made a Lifetime movie out of it.
They sure did, yeah.
And then I did research on it, and then I was like, oh, man, it was really...
Yeah, well, that's kind of what... That was kind of the death knell for Craigslist. Because Craigslist... Yeah. I don't even know if Craigslist is still a thing anymore.
No, I don't believe so.
I haven't seen a Craigslist in at least 10 years at least.
The last time I've seen Craigslist, you had to pay to use it.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, and it would make perfect sense, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah.
I know that now. I mean, just to get on some of these, like Angie's List, you got to have like, you know, 3 steps of verification just to get on some of these lists.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? You got to have 3 on Amazon, on Etsy, on eBay, on Tinder, any of these dating sites, you know, what's it called? Not Go Fish, Plenty of Fish, OK Cupid, places like that, Harmony.com. You got to have 3 to 5 points of identification. You can't just go on like you used to. So no. It wouldn't surprise me if Craigslist was still around. It would not surprise me whatsoever to know that you had to go either pay for it or jump through hoops to get on it. That would surprise me a bit.
Mad Dog, I do got one more question. And I'm sitting here thinking talking about clowns. My go-to show growing up, believe it or not, and at this point, I believe it was just reruns. It was still on the air at during my time. Bozo the Clown.
Yes.
And you know, I get to thinking that was a very popular show back in the day. I'm wondering if even something as innocent as that could inspire somebody like John Wayne Gacy to get into that, to do what he did.
Absolutely.
Take something so innocent like that. And then you literally ruin the stigma for clowns just overall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, understand something. I don't care what the exterior looks like. You could have a clown exterior. You could have you could look like the ultimate warrior, for crying out loud. It doesn't matter what the outside looks like. It's everything is controlled by this little mechanism that's about this big called your brain. It's only about that big, folks, just so you know. It's not this big thing that people think. Your brain is only about that big, all right? And that's what we're talking about. And if that mechanism is wired the wrong way or short-circuited in any way, you end up like Richard Ramirez and Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy and the Zodiac and Jack the Ripper and P. Peter Sutcliffe and any number of people who are bad, bad people, you know? So, yeah. I mean, we have to understand we're talking about okay, let me see. Kenneth Jarrett Singleton brings up a really interesting point that I wasn't aware of. Trump changed the policies regarding those sites, talking about, you know, Craigslist and Tinder right. and places like that, regarding those sites due to the high amount of human trafficking. And that's something I not even thought about before. Kenneth, thank you, brother, for bringing that to my attention. I wasn't even thinking in terms of that, but that's a very valid point. Human trafficking on Craigslist, on Tinder, on any of those dating sites, you know, who says they're all legit? You know, I met my wife on a dating site 12 years ago.
You know, I'm surprised there has been a
I haven't like killed her yet. Sorry, honey, I'm just joking.
Let me let her know real quick that you were just joking.
Need until your husband's talking shit about you, right?
Yeah, he's just joking, by the way. But
yeah, right. Amelia, what we got coming up?
Well, you said earlier, speaking about Peter Sutcliffe, we're going to be talking about the Yorkshire Ripper tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow night. What else we got coming up? What I have something special to show the boys. So now, but next week, let me just tell everybody what's coming up next week. A very, very special 2-hour broadcast of What's the Buzz, America's Popcast. I have Ken Wilder and Mike Lynch joining me on the show. They wrote the definitive book, Alcatraz Escape. How do they know so much? Because Ken Widener is the nephew of Clarence and John Anglin, two of the men who escaped from Alcatraz.
Wow.
Along with Frank Morris. And yes, folks, they did not die in the ocean. They were not eaten by sharks like people thought. In fact, they escaped, and they even wrote the warden a letter, said, "Hope you're doing fine. Life is good." Postmark unknown. Okay. That's that. What are you laughing about?
I'm saying that would be so funny to leave him a postmark unknown. We're not going to tell you. You think we're that?
I think Amelia was drinking the night. She's laughing. Wait, she never laughs this much.
I'm laughing because I'm going to say postmark unknown. Do you think we're going to be that stupid and tell you where the postmark's going to come from?
Well, no, but you're talking about the post office. You know, when you mail a letter, it's got a postmark on it.
Unless they paid somebody to tell them, say, postmark unknown.
Well, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably paid somebody to dump this letter from the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know? These guys were brilliant, man. They were fucking smart. So that's next week. Ken Widener and Mike Lynch are going to join me. We're going to talk about John and Clarence Anglin and Frank Morris. And then I have a special show Tuesday. In fact, I have two shows next Tuesday. They are going to, I have two shows next Monday. The Alcatraz is one. I have a show at 10 a.m. next Monday. I'll be interviewing Rita Gigante. Rita is a psychic and medium. She's also the daughter of former New York mafia boss, Vincent the Chin Gigante. Interesting. She's a fascinating woman. We're going to talk a little bit about her father, the mafia don. But mostly we're going to talk about the psychic work that we do. And next week is the start of brand new show here, folks, called For the Record. And, of course, AJ, let me bring us up here. AJ and Mac Daddy Dubs, they are the host of this show. Let me bring us up for you guys. Here you go. See that For the Record podcast with AJ and Dubs? And I want you to see what they're their little promo is going to look like. I put this together for you guys, so if you don't like it, kiss my ass because it looks fucking great. Take a look. Watch this.